Welcome to the Believer's Voice of Victory from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Download the notes at kcm.org/notes.
God needs the prayers to pray in the plans of God. He needs the prayers to pray in the glory.
Prayer changes things. Join Gloria Copeland and her special guest Billy Brim today as they teach us how God uses our prayers in the Spirit to pray the glory into the earth. Next, on the Believer's Voice of Victory.
Hello, everybody. I'm Gloria Copeland. Billy Brim's back with us today from Prayer Mountain in the Ozark. And Billy, what are you going to tell us today?
Well, you know, I'm here on assignment. And the assignment is a recruiting assignment to the body of Christ to work with God in these last days
in
prayer.
Amen. Amen.
And Gloria, I never considered myself a great prayer. I ran around with great prayers, and sometimes they made you feel like Ned in the first reader.
Yeah.
But I got an assignment from God to help the prayers. And one of the men that we ran around with, you and I and all of us, was Brother Philip Halverson. Mm-hmm. And he's one of the ones that God gave me the assignment through. He is a part of the package this week, and I want them to play right now just an example of a meeting we had in 1983. Brother Hagin prophesied to me. He said, the people that you know, that we know, he knew them well, who are prayer warriors, seasoned prayer warriors, pray in another realm. They're going to start going on. And if you don't get what they have out of them, we're going to lose it, the next generation. So here's one of those men. I had a meeting in 1983. We gathered these people together. And here's Brother Philip Halverson and his wife, Fern. He's one of the ones that prayed on that high level. I want you to watch him before we go on.
Okay, good. That'll be interesting.
But in the nighttime, these things will happen. As I begin to intercede, I wake up, I'll be praying in tongues, praying, and I'll begin to pray out in the language of my understanding, words of wisdom and knowledge, of things I just hear as I speak. And honey, share a little about what happened in the system.
I remember so well, one night I was in a deep sleep, and I was startled and awakened by this loud utterance that my husband was uttering in tongues, and a very forceful. This happens regularly, but this particular night, I heard him speak in English. The words, do you recall the words that you said? You said, Donald Ullman, in Jesus' name, life come into your body. You said you have work to do. The Lord wants you to finish your work. Life, come into your body. Now, we didn't know a Donald Ullman. Have any of you ever heard of a Donald Ullman? Well, we didn't. And Philip continued this on for several minutes. And then we worshiped the Lord and held up with our understanding also, whoever this Donald Ullman was. We spoke life. We continued to praise the Lord that he was going to live, whoever he was. Now, most of the time, the experiences we have no knowledge of whatsoever. The names or situations or government officials or government or national situations or nations, we don't know. We soon find out maybe the next day or the next week as the Lord brings it forth, and then everybody knows. Or most people know, but at the time we have usually no knowledge whatsoever in our understanding. So we worshiped the Lord, thanked the Lord that the Spirit had taken hold for this Donald Ullman, and we went to sleep and we woke refreshed the next day, as we always do, even if we spend a whole night in prayer. When we hit the pillow and we sleep for maybe an hour or so, we awake refreshed the next day, as if we'd slept for a whole day.
Amen. After this had happened, I heard what I was speaking. I knew the tremendous anointing of the Holy Spirit. The anointings come in, how would I say it? In greater measure at times. There's times you feel almost like you were saying this morning, you're almost going to be raptured. And I wonder, what's going to happen next? And the intercession comes. And you lift up. And I wondered about this. And you know, in the natural, you're so curious, you're wondering, this mind up here wants to know what's happening down here. It wasn't until about 6 months later, I was in a church one Sunday morning, and they were handing out the prayer requests. And as this lady gave me a sheet, I looked at it, and halfway down the sheet, I saw the name Donald Oman. I hurried back to her. I said, do you know who this is? She said, yes, I do. His mother-in-law is in the morning service. I hurried down to see her and talk with her, and I found out that Donald Oman had been a missionary over in Lebanon, had an orphanage over there. He'd been very ill. And these are some things of the Spirit I don't understand. Minister could come, anointed him with oil, prayed for him. People had prayed for many different churches there. He'd become ill, and so much had happened, and he coughed up so much, the doctor said, there's no way he can live. And he'd called his wife, and they said, just be there. And this is the day he's going to go, he's going to die. And he had died. But you know, that late,
he did die.
Yes, but they wanted to bury him. His wife was really holding on. And in the night hours, the Lord looks for an intercessor. And as you will yield to that Spirit, and as you will speak those words, the Holy Spirit gives you. For I spoke life to that body. I spoke healing. I called him back to finish the ministry God had called him to do. He came back to the States. I met him, talked with him. He was well. He lived for 13 more years and built a big church. And then one day he just slipped away to be with the Lord. But these experiences didn't just come one at a time. They came as a flood into our life.
When Brother Halverson was talking, and that was 1983, Donald Oman had died. He was dead. He was in Lebanon dead. And they were even thinking of burying him, but his wife was just holding on. But back in Minneapolis, Minnesota, or St. Paul, there was God moving upon someone to pray. Now, God needed a person in the earth to pray. He needed a person in the earth to say that.
Yeah.
And Brother Halverson was one of those kinds of prayers who's ever on the line and moving at the urging of the Holy Ghost. There are lots of things that God sees happening in the earth, and He searches for someone to pray. And in the end times here, He's going to really raise up some prayers again, even on the line and in the category of Brother Halverson, some of the others on our, Rachel T. Fittiller, the others that are in our package that we're offering. Now, these people, they surrounded me in my life. I had my heritage of the Pickard family that were in prayer. I came to work for Brother Hagin. Mm-hmm. Oh, my goodness, Brother Hagin. When he would pray, he would kneel down often by a chair, side of a chair at the end of a service, and he would have a conversation with God. Prayer is a conversation with God. It's two-way. You should hear as well as speak. He heard Donald Oman and he said it. So you should hear as well as speak. And the Lord in my life has given me an assignment to help the prayers. That's why I'm here. That's why I'm talking about the 24-hour clock. That's why I'm talking about the 30-minute segments. And the first time I heard the phrase, help the prayers, it happened like this. And I have it in my book, The Road to Prayer Mountain. It was 1981. And I had worked for Brother Hagin for 10 years, but at this time I was not working for him. I was attending his summer camp meeting. I'm sure you and Ken were there. Ken was a speaker.
And I was in Tulsa, Oklahoma, going to the camp meeting. And going to the camp meeting, it lasted all day long. Morning, noon, and night were our sessions. And there were Holy Ghost sessions, so they lasted a long time. Saturday morning, I got up and I had an appointment to speak Saturday night in Minneapolis, Minnesota, in a camp meeting. Not Mac and Lynn's, but this was before that, 1981. And so I got up Saturday morning at 7:30, had a flight out from Tulsa to Minneapolis, got there, and I was so sleepy. I went to my hotel room and I laid down to bed and I said, Lord, I'll wake up at 3 o'clock and I'll get ready for the meeting. The meeting was in that hotel in the basement. I'll get ready for that meeting tonight. So I went to sleep, and at exactly 3 o'clock, I sat straight up and I could still see the dream vision that I'd had while I was sleeping. In my dream, I seemed to watch the proceedings, a proceedings in which I took a part in them. There was a great house, and in the great house, there was going to be a wedding. And I knew it was the wedding of Christ and His bride. I could not see the bridegroom, but I sensed him. Mm-hmm. And I sensed the activity. Everybody was hurrying about, scurrying about, and they were preparing for the wedding supper of the Lamb, which we will take part in heaven. But we were on earth. This proceeding was on earth. There was an armchair there. I was seated in the armchair. I had my leg up over that one arm, and I was in ecstasy watching all the proceedings. I knew everyone had a part, and I thought that my part was just to, like, daydream of the ecstasy of the wedding. Over there to my left, there was a door. The door opened. A man came out and he said, come help us prepare for the wedding. I said, oh no. I thought they were cooking. I thought they were preparing the food. I said, that's not my part. Everybody has a part. That's your part. My part is here just to take this in, just to daydream. He came to the door the second time. Come help us get ready for the wedding. I said, no, that's not my part. Preach him a little sermon on everybody doing their part. He went back in there. The third time he came out, and he was crying. He said, please help us come get ready for the wedding. I was translated from my chair where I was observing back into that room. They were not cooking as I had supposed. They were unwrapping gifts. They were unwrapping the gifts of the bride, which I gave them another sermon. I said, that's not your part. You're not supposed to unwrap the gifts of the bride. The bride's supposed to unwrap the gifts. But then I had an overwhelming desire to see what they were getting. Every gift was wrapped in a package, a man-sized package, a box, tall with a bow on the top of it. And these people were unwrapping, they were unswishing the bows, and then down would come the paper, the box would open it, and inside was a garment, some clothing. And they were taking them out, and they were hanging them on a rack. And they were the colors, earth tones. They were brown, orange, green, yellow. They hang them up there. And then I woke up, and the Holy Spirit was interpreting to me the dream. And He said, those people are the prayers, and those gifts represent the gifts of the Spirit and the ministry gifts of Christ. He said, you have never seen them operate like I designed them to operate.
Oh, Jesus.
You have never seen apostle, prophet, pastor, evangelist, teacher operate like I intend them to operate. You have never seen the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, the power gifts, the utterance gifts. You have never seen them operate like they're designed. The operation that you have seen has fitted the church for her earth walk. That's why they are earth colors. But look over there. And I looked over there, and there were boxes. They were in a shimmering paper. They had gossamer bows. Mm. And they unwrapped that, and down came the sides of the box, and inside was a garment made up of glory. Mm. And He said, these gifts
are God's gifts to the church. And they are designed for her before you leave, shortly before the marriage supper of the Lamb, the church will don glory. The church will put on these glorious garments. And she will have a walk just before Jesus comes when she will be adorned in glory.
Praise God.
And she will minister, the apostle, prophet, pastor, all of them will minister in the glory. And the gifts of the Spirit, healings and miracles, will operate in the glory. Now he said, these gifts are in people. And he said, the prayers, they have to be unwrapped. And the prayers have to do with that. The prayers have to do with the praying in of the glory of God. And he said, you are assigned to help the prayers. And that's the first I heard that term, help the prayers. Now, Brother Halverson, he went to heaven in 1985. I had that vision of the marriage supper of the Lamb in 1981. In 1983, Brother Hagin had prophesied to me, you have to get these people together and get out what they know, because if you don't get out what they know about prayer, we're going to lose it. So that little clip you saw at the beginning, that was 1983, and that was Brother Halverson praying. You saw just a sample of his praying the will of God. Brother Halverson went to heaven in 1985. My sister went to heaven, my only sister, went to heaven on a Friday in 1985. Well, Thursday or Friday. And on Saturday night, Brother Halverson called me. I was at my mother's house. There was all the family there, you know. And Brother Halverson talked to me for 1 hour and 45 minutes on the phone Saturday night. And he said to me, in May, or it might have been the first day of June, he said to me, Satan's trying to make you stop. Mm. He said, the attack against your sister was an attack against you. Mm. She didn't know quite how to stop it. She was only 42. But he says, Satan is trying to make you stop. He said, you have no idea how important it is to the Holy Ghost that you don't quit. Mm. You do not quit. And he talked to me for an hour and 45 minutes. And he said, never forget, your number one assignment is to help the prayers. My husband died 10 months after that. Mm. But I always knew, don't quit. But the amazing thing was, Brother Halverson went to heaven the next day. He talked to me 1 hour and 45 minutes on Saturday. On Sunday at Mac and Lynn Hammond's church, I think it was June 2nd, Brother Mac Hammond called him up to pray. Brother Halverson prayed. When he prayed, the Holy Ghost would come on him and he'd shake. And Brother Mac had given his vision, of a new vision God had given him, and he called up Brother Halverson to pray. Brother Halverson, Mrs. Halverson, you saw her firm. Mac and Lynn, they were praying up on the platform, and they fell out under the power, Mac and Brother Halverson. Mm. And Brother Halverson smiled. And they just all thought that he fell under the power. This was Sunday night. And, but he was gone.
He left.
He left. Brother Hagin said he just got so far out there, he didn't get back.
Oh, glory to God.
They no known cause of death. They did autopsy, no known cause of death. Now, that Saturday night, he talked to me that night. Okay, we had my sister's service the next day.
So his spirit left his body.
His spirit left his... But now Saturday night, he talked to me on the telephone. The next day is Sunday. Mm-hmm. And on Sunday night, he is going to heaven. And on Sunday morning, I was with my sister's family. And then I drove home 40 miles to my home in Collinsville, and the phone was ringing, and it was from Mac and Lynn's church. And here was this high music going, high worship and praise. And Brother Halverson had gone home. They called me. And it was like when Elijah went home. You know, they were worshiping God. There was no better place that he could have gone home from. But he said to me, now, also on that Saturday when he talked to me, he talked to Lynn Hammond, and he gave Lynn Hammond his prayer assignments. Now we know that he did it. We didn't know what he was doing. But he took Mac and Lynn out that Saturday, and he passed over his assignments to her, and he said to Lynn, don't ever stop praying for Billy Brim. And then he mentioned another person as well. He said, it's important to God that she not quit. So everything that's happened,
isn't that amazing,
with Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, and now we have Prayer Mountain in the Ozarks, and we're having Prayer Mountain in the Galilee. Every bit of it that has happened has to do with an assignment to help the prayers, because God needs the prayers to pray in the plans of God. He needs the prayers to pray in the glory.
That's right. Mm-hmm.
That glory that they're going to walk in. And that's why he has said to us, and we're going to talk more about that tomorrow, that's why he has said to us at Prayer Mountain, and he showed me, he's got to have us. Gloria, I know, and I don't want to say how I know, but there are some things that the enemy has planned against us, against the United States.
Against the United States.
And I know that we have until the end of the year, until 2015, to keep them from happening. And God needs us to pray. The Lord made us to know that if the church will pull together in prayer and even repent for our nation, then these things can be staved off. It's not come what may. It's come what we pray.
Oh my.
It's come what we say. And the Lord is, He wants us now to pray together in united prayer so that He can cause these things to stop. He can't just do it without us. He is the head, we are the body, we are in the earth. It's my job, it's my God-given job. You said that you didn't like it so much when he had you to preach. This is not what I would have picked, helping the prayers. I'd rather teach. I'd rather take my hanky and dance and sing in the glory of God. But he gave me the assignment, help the prayers. And so when I was going to teach on this session, on one of the prophets, which I love to do, Elijah and what's coming, I mean Ezekiel and what's coming, he said, no, you talk about prayer and you help recruit prayers that the body of Christ can be praying together in unity at this time.
Praise God. Wow. Glory to God. We'll be right back.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching from Kenneth Copeland Ministries. Be sure to get the notes at kcm.org/notes. And remember, Jesus is Lord.